Chapter 1. The Year of the Dracaraj. Dale Reckoning. 1018. The Matron's Web.
100 years, Patron Risen said to Matron Malice Thoerden, the two in the small chamber that served as a throne room in the minor house of Dermon and Eshesbirnon, more commonly known as House Thoerden. Despite the limitations of the room, such chambers in most Menzo Barons on houses were far larger. Malice had done her typically brilliant job in designing and decorating the place to make it a true tribute to Lolf, the Spider Queen. Her throne, upon a raised dais, was upholstered in black silk emblazoned with red spiders. Behind it hung great draperies of heavy black material, and they swayed constantly in a magical wind, making them shimmer and seem alive. Attached to these were webs, of course, actual spider webs, crawling with actual spiders, most larger than a drow's closed fist, all venomous, and all trained through an assortment of magical spells to leave Malice alone. To the sides of the throne stood two jade statues, the pride of House Thoerden. Many drow houses kept animated jade spiders, but Malice had taken that accepted practice one step further in a bold move that had risked angering the Spider Queen. The jade statues of this lesser Menzo Barons on House animated as half-drow, half-spider driders. It was a cosmetic difference from the normal golems of Menzo Barons on, nothing more. But the willingness of Matron Malice to do such a thing spoke of great audacity, and the favor Lolf still showed her. Malice's small face tightened as she stared at Risen, her consort, though it wasn't clear whether her disgust was aimed at his statement of fact or more particularly at him.
"Few matrons have served for a full century," the often oblivious male added. "This is a great day for you and a great day for House Thoerden."
"House Thoerden," Malice echoed with a derisive snort. She had taken control 100 years before to the day her first child, Brisa, was born, the day her mother and matron, Vartha Thoerden, died. Malice Thoerden had imagined great things on that long-ago day. She knew that she had been flush with the favor of Lolf, for she had given birth to a girl, and the magic spell of poisoning she had enacted during the birth had worked beautifully. Never had she heard a suspicious word uttered about the death of Matron Vartha Thoerden. So, she had full control of her house, and though it was but a minor house, it was one with great potential and, importantly, a solid defensible compound in the west wall section of Menzo Barenzon. Indeed, House Thoerden had been built right into the impregnable western wall of the Great Cavern, reducing its critical defensive points considerably. And Malice had her daughter, now a high priestess and one of formidable size and strength. But the crawl from obscurity in Menzo Barenzon was not an easy one, and Matron Malice was never one to be regarded as a particularly patient woman. Yes, House Thoerden had climbed many places in the hierarchy of the city, but that was mostly because of inter-house wars depleting the ranks above them, or other houses disbanding for lack of nobles, or being absorbed by the greater ruling houses. Indeed, Malice knew that House Thoerden's best weapon in its ascent had thus far been nothing more than its obscurity. They hadn't been important enough for any greater houses to care. Now, though, as they neared the ranking of the top dozen houses, that was surely changing. Obscurity could take the Thoerden clan only so far. They were dangerously thin of nobles, for Malice had lost 2 sisters and a brother in the last 3 decades. They had no accomplished house wizard to boast of, and their weapon master, Malice's oldest brother, Drevesir, had not waged a decent fight in 50 years. The noble blood had not been replaced, and now House Thoerden was close enough to mattering for other houses to take note, just as she was least prepared to do much about it.
"When I consider where we have come," Risen said dramatically, heaving a great sigh. "And it is all because of Matron Malice's webs. your quiet alliance with two of the great houses, a bond built solely through your charismatic shut-up, Matron Malice told him, and meant it, not just because she was sick of his voice. Everything Risen was saying was true enough, for Malice maintained relationships with two of the most powerful matrons in Menzo Baranzon. But those two matrons hated each other, and so such webs were better kept unilluminated. The room's door opened, and Malice's other child, Nalfane, entered. He was a handsome drow, small like Malice and only a few years younger than Brisa. Unlike his sister, though, Nalfane was mediocre in every way. Though undistinguished at Mele Macfair, the Drow Academy for Warriors, Nalfane should have demanded open combat so that he could claim his place as weapon master of House Stewarden. But he couldn't bring himself to do it, likely fearing that he could not win. And Malice simply didn't want to give the important title to him, fearing that any notoriety at all would put him in a position to defend himself against challengers. And there just weren't many Nalfane would defeat. She looked from the approaching man back to Risen, barely suppressing her scowl. Nalfane was his child. Risen claimed Brisa as his as well, but only because he was told to, for he knew the truth of her conception, and it did not involve him. He truly had given Malice her mediocre son, but no others. Just another in a long list of his disappointing traits. As she looked upon Risen now, the thought occurred to her, and not for the first time, that perhaps she should have long ago sacrificed him to the Spider Queen. But Malice just sighed when she turned back to Nalfane. Risen was loyal enough, never questioned her, and always slobbered all over her every decision. He was a satisfactory lover, she supposed, and it wasn't like she kept her amorous activities exclusive to him. And while Matron Malice didn't want to admit it, wanted to take the easy excuse and blame Risen, given the sheer number of lovers she had taken, her lack of any more children in the last 95 years almost certainly had more to do with her than with him. "She has left the compound," Nalfane informed his matron. "She went alone?" "On a Zorlaran disk. She will not be bothered." "You told her the answer?" Nalfane nodded. "She inquired about the question." "That is none of her concern," Malice replied. "All she needed to know was the answer." Malice felt the curious looks of the two males upon her, but she cared not at all. House Stewarden had been stagnant for far too long. The days of hiding while the houses above them destroyed one another were over now. It was time for Matron Malice to make a statement and to strengthen her house to make it worthy of its current station. To make those ambitious houses behind Stewarden know they could not fight her, and to make those houses above know that attacking Stewarden would wound them too greatly to be worth the gain. Lolf had shown her an opportunity here. She would not miss the chance. High Priestess Brisa Stewarden shifted uncomfortably on the floating disk as it glided through the twisting streets of Menzo Baranzon. Every stalagmite mound in the great cavern had been worked and hollowed to serve as an anchoring tower for a drow house. Curving stairways and balconies swept the lengths of the natural structures, highlighted with glowing, harmless fairy fires of varying hues, from purple to red and every shade in between. Moving near to the established houses didn't make Brisa nervous. She was on a magical disk that carried the identification of House Zorlaran, and thus the imprimatur of Matron Xerath, who led Zorlaran, the fourth-ranked house in the city but in close alliance with House Bayenri, the unquestionable rulers of Menzo Baranzon. Established houses of Menzo Baranzon would not trouble Brisa when she was upon such a disk, surely. But the city was also full of unpredictable rogues, and her path to the raised region of the cavern that housed the greatest houses would take her near to the Brayrin, the stench streets, where opportunists with little to lose huddled in gangs. Still, she reminded herself that she was a high priestess of Lolf, no minor title and accomplishment, and so instead of fretting, she called upon her goddess and placed protections and wards upon herself. They were not needed. Gliding up the ramp of Quel'Arzor,
that raised area of the cavern. Breeza relaxed her fears of being assaulted, but tightened in the face of certain judgment. Before her lay the great houses of the city, including most of the 8 whose matrons sat on the ruling council. They would all take note, no doubt, of her passing, and so the tryst between House de Werden and House Sorlaren would be no secret, if it ever had been. That's why Breeza had been surprised to learn that Matron Zira Sorlaren had sent a disk to carry her to their meeting in the first place. Matron Zirith was flaunting this, not because House de Werden was of any importance to the ruling houses, but because of the rumors, resurfacing again as Malice celebrated her 100th year as matron, that House de Werden had done some very dark dealings with House Sorlaren's principal adversary, a lower-ranking house but one with a formidable reputation, House Barrison del Armgo. Matron Zirith surely wanted Matron Sulez Armgo to see Breeza float up the ramp to the Quellar's Orl, which meant that Breeza was a pawn in the great game between the houses. That thought weighed heavily upon her strong shoulders as she passed the impressive compound of Barrison del Armgo, a compound too large and fortified for a house of its rank, surely. This family was far down the ladder of hierarchy, far lower than House de Werden even. But Breeza understood quite well that if House de Werden went to war with House Barrison del Armgo, it would result in a swift and catastrophic defeat for her family. Within the latticework of the fencing of the del Armgo compound, all designed as intricate spider webs, the del Armgo soldiers marched in perfect cadence and tight formations. They were always marching, always drilling, always training, and no house, no 2 houses together, could boast a stronger contingent of male warriors. To cap that off, the Barrison del Armgo soldiers were led by a young weapon master named Utha Gentle, who was quickly becoming a legend in the Drow City. Many eyes turned to regard Breeza as she drifted past. She stared straight ahead, pretending not to notice or care, and then, very soon after, she really didn't care, for the disc climbed the ramp to the noble section and soon rounded a bend, bringing her in view of the city's 4th house. Of all the Drow families, none was stronger in arcane magic than House Sorlaren. Unusually for their race, Matron Zirith afforded her males great latitude and station, and almost all of them, even those whose claim to noble birth was thin at best, attended Sorcerer, the Drow Academy for Arts Arcane. And Matron Zirith had put those wizards to work decorating the curving walls of her compound, which were painted in a permanent shifting wave of fairy fire colors, a mesmerizing dance through the spectrum of normal visible light. Battlements floated above the wall tops, and gracefully curving stairways wound about the stalagmites and stalactites within the compound, often bridging great expanses of empty space to connect the many structures. Centering the whole of the place was a singular, gigantic tower, which somehow appeared taller than the ceiling of the great cavern. Similar magical tricks exaggerated length to the walls, so that they seemed to go on for hundreds and hundreds of yards. It all gave off a sense of scale at odds with the house's station, which was exactly the point. Breeza fought hard to calm herself as the disc floated right before the large central gates of House Sorlaren, which swung open to admit her. She jumped in surprise as she started to float between them, realizing that each gate was anchored not by a carved metal post, as she had believed, but by a small iron golem. Breeza paused there, basking in the view and noting the irony of the vicious rivalry between Matron Zirith and Sulez, for among all the houses of Menzo Berenzon, these two were the ones most reliant on mere males, Zirith for wizards, Sulez for warriors. Giving an exasperated sigh, Breeza willed the disc to move up to the sweeping stairway that led to the decorated front door of the Grand Central Tower, and there its back end lifted, unceremoniously dropping her to a standing position before the entrance. Her biggest mistake was in keeping one hand on the disc for support as she tried to steady her balance, for the disc then blinked out of existence and poor Breeza stumbled and nearly fell to the ground. She gathered herself and her dignity, knowing that many eyes were upon her, and knowing that in this particular house, many of those daring to laugh at her were likely males. Angered at the thought, she quickly composed both her posture and her expression. She moved up to the door, which opened before she arrived at it. There stood a man in opulent purple robes, splotched with designs of spiders and starbursts. His unusual haircut, long and hanging past his shoulders in the front, but short to the base of his skull in the back, marked him as Horud Dissimuth, the Zorlaran house wizard and a master of sorcerer, who had nearly upended the great Grump Bayenry himself in the contest to be named as the city's archmage. "Well met, Priestess Doerden," he greeted her, giving a low bow. "Do come along, for you are expected, of course." "Of course," she replied, in a tone meant to remind the wizard that, for all his accolades, he was a mere male and she a high priestess of Lolth. He was 200 years her senior at least, but in Menzo Baranzon he had been right to bow before her. The large Doerden priestess squared her broad shoulders and tightened her chin as she made her way beside Horud Dissimuth to the fancy throne room of House Zorlaran. "My great matron," he said, when they at last came to the walk before the throne, which was another floating disc, but one with ornate armrests and a high back, covered in runes that magically scrolled, spelling out prayers to Lady Lolth. If she concentrated on them, Breeza thought she could hear the spelled words magically whispered. "Great Matron Zorlaran," Breeza said, and she gave a little bow. "I am reminded that today is your birthday, Priestess Breeza," Matron Xerath replied. "Indeed, I remember that day, those 100 years ago, when your grandmother so suddenly took ill and died." There was more than a little sinister suspicion in her words, Breeza realized, which caught her by surprise. For what could anything that might have happened 100 years before have to do with the deal that was being consummated this day? With no further explanation, though, Xerath continued. "You have brought the alteration of the jade spider Dreamer," she added sourly. "I expected your matron to personally deliver it." "I have," Breeza sputtered, casting aside the disparagement. "And the salve you requested. There is no better alchemist. Do not speak of your matron's skills in this place," Matron Xerath cut her short. "We of House Zorlaran are not without the finest implements and practitioners of alchemy in all the city. There are simply many potions and salves too mundane for us to bother with. Better to barter, especially when the bartering is so one-sided that the other house remains in our debt." Proud and angry, Breeza did well to bite back her retort. Matron Xerath waved to one of the priestesses at her side, her daughter, High Priestess Kiri, Breeza believed, and the woman rushed forth to take the scroll tube and the salve jar. "House Trayrak will march soon," Breeza asked. "I know nothing of that which you speak." Breeza stared hard at Matron Xerath, who glared back at her. Drow houses sometimes went to war with each other, and sometimes other houses knew of the coming battle. But they didn't speak of it ever, Xerath's look coldly reminded her. "When will House Doerden be compensated for our efforts?" Breeza tried instead. "When payment is secured," Xerath replied. "You would not do well to doubt House Zorlaran."
"I do not."
"Good. Then finish the payment," said Xerath. Breeza looked at her curiously, for Kiri had taken the two items. "What is my answer?" Matron Xerath clarified. Breeza thought back to her strange conversation with her brother, right before she had climbed upon the Zorlaran disk. He had given her a word, a single word, for Matron Xerath, though she had no idea what it might be all about. "Child," Xerath prompted, when she had hesitated too long. "Yes," said Breeza. "The answer is yes." Xerath Zorlaran cackled and snorted. "Ah, it was ever so obvious," she said. "Your mother, dear child, she is such a lure." A lure. The label stung Breeza, mostly because she knew that it was true. Matron Malice was indeed a lure to any who would be lured. Her sexual appetite and exploits had become quite the subject of gossip throughout Menzo Baranzon. To this day, Breeza hadn't decided whether Malice used sex to gain confidence as an advantage, or she was simply insatiable. Nobles, commoners, men, women, many, even driders claimed one set of rumors. It did not matter. Many of those whispers were accompanied by titters, of course, and more than a few by scorn and judgment that Malice was acting beneath the dignity of her station. Perhaps that was true, Breeza had often mused, but what seemed truer to her was that her mother was continually advancing House Doerden. In the city of spiders, in the religion of Lolth, little else mattered, and certainly not anything as unimportant as carnal pleasures. Yes, Matron Zira said, mulling it over and laughing a bit more before fixing her stare upon Breeza. You do not even know what your answer means, do you? Breeza spent a long while returning the stare before shaking her head. The implications it carries for you, I mean, Zirith clarified.
Perhaps if you told me the question, Breeza replied, but Zirith was laughing wildly before she ever finished the request.
Go, child, go, Matron Zira said, waving Breeza away. Tell Matron Malice that House Zorlaren will deliver her prize when it is secured.
Breeza continued to stare at the Zorlaren leader as she backed away from the throne. Near the entrance of the room, she was collected by a pair of young wizards and escorted out. Informed on the way that there would be no disk to carry her home, when the gates of the Zorlaren compound closed behind her, it occurred to Breeza that perhaps she should not have come out here alone after all.
Of course the answer was yes, Matron Zirith told Kiri and Horodisomoth back in the throne room. The resemblance is unmistakable, as well as the size of that one. I am surprised that ogreish creature didn't split Tiny Malice in half when she was born. Horodisomoth, who was also Kiri's father, laughed heartily.
Did you ever bed her? Matron Zirith demanded suddenly, stealing his mirth.
He cleared his throat a few times before stuttering.
No, of course not, no.
I would think you curious, Zirith said, seeming rather disappointed.
I know I am. This Malice has made quite a name for herself.
Well, Horodisomoth dared to say.
You did?
Matron Zirith accused, but she was laughing more than showing any jealousy or anger.
What is this about?
High Priestess Kiri interrupted in frustration. When the two turned to her incredulously, she sheepishly asked,
What are you talking about?
The answer was yes, Zirith explained.
To what?
Patron Risen Doerden claims paternity of Priestess Breeza. But any who know the two, and view Tiny Malice as well, would doubt such a claim.
Then what is the answer supposed to mean?
That Breeza's father is the brutish warrior Uthagentil of House Barrison del Armgo,
Horodisomoth answered after Matron Zirith nodded for him to proceed. That had Kiri's jaw hanging open. Although of a minor house, Uthagentil Armgo was considered by many to be the most formidable weapon master in all the city. A giant of a drow, he was known to fight with a terrible trident, and scores of victims indeed had been hoisted into the air on its murdering tines, displayed like a trophy.
And it was no accident, Matron Zira said, her voice becoming suddenly serious. It was done as half of a trade.
For dark magic, the wizard said, birthing magic, which should not be.
Kiri stared at him blankly.
Using the power of creation, the act of giving birth is a means to greater destruction, Horodisomoth explained. It is an old technique of potentially great power, but one that has been shunned and is not sanctioned by the ruling council.
But would that power not be Lolth-given? The confused woman pressed.
It should not be, was all that Horodisomoth replied, and coldly.
Matron Vartha Doerden would agree with you, said Matron Zirith. But if we are correct in our suspicions, then we must be extra vigilant whenever Matron Sules Armgo or any of her wretched daughters is fat with child, particularly that loathsome Mesbaris creature.
You think they have unlocked the secret of birthing magic? Asked Horodisomoth.
They gave Malice something in return for allowing Uthagentil to infiltrate their house as a sire. The timely death of Matron Vartha is too perfect to be simple coincidence.
Too perfect? Kiri echoed, trying to follow. Are you saying that
Matron Malus allowed herself to be impregnated by Uthagentil Armgo in exchange for some dark magic that rid her of her mother?
So it would seem, answered Xerath.
I have never heard of this birthing magic, said Kiri.
To take the power of creation and reverse it to destruction, Orodissimoth explained. It is demonic and dark.
So is Lolth, Kiri reminded them, and the wizard could only shrug.
Perhaps the birthing magic is Lolth given, perhaps not, said Matron Xerath. But it is a secret few have unlocked, and one of great power, it would seem. Matron Vartha Doerden was no minor priestess. She withered and died in a matter of hours, and so House Barrison Delarmgo is no doubt thrilled by the ascent of House Doerden. They have a hold over Matron Malus now and will likely absorb her house if ever it benefits them.
Absorb? Kiri asked skeptically.
House Doerden is the greater house.
Why are we even discussing this Barrison Delarmgo family? More than half the houses of Menzo Baranzon are more highly considered and ranked.
Both Horodissimoth and Matron Xerath laughed at that remark.
Unless you meet an untimely end, you will come to see more clearly in time, my child, Matron Xerath predicted. Matron Sulaz or her daughter will sit upon the ruling council soon enough. Would that Matron Mother Bayenri could see it, and be rid of the troublesome Armgos now, before they grow too strong for an easy eradication.
Matron Sulaz has the great favor of Lolth, Orodissimoth reminded.
Then perhaps this birthing magic is not frowned upon by the Spider Queen, Kiri suggested, and her mother's face spoke volumes.
As she thought on it more herself, the young High Priestess started to see what her matron saw, that the main reason so many matrons considered birthing magic profane was because they hadn't figured out how to do it themselves, or even more likely because it was so powerful that it threatened the matrons, as Vartha Doerden had apparently learned.
And now Matron Malus comes to us for help in securing her desired treasure, Horudissimoth asked with a shake of his head and a disgusted look on his face, appearing to very much want to change the subject.
Because Matron Sulaz Armgo cannot yet project the power to help in Malus's quest. Worse, Sulaz Armgo would keep the treasure for herself or feed him to Uthagentil to keep that vain brute satisfied.
Horudissimoth shrugged, seeming unconvinced.
I hear that this one might defeat Uthagentil. Both he and Dantrag Bayenri have watched the progress of the young warrior from afar. By all accounts, he is extraordinary.
That will be Matron Malus's problem, not mine.
But will we not be helping Matron Sulaz as we help Matron Malus? A still confused Kiri interjected.
It is a good question, Xerath told her daughter. But I think not. Malus's acquisition will anger Uthagentil, who cannot stand any to be compared to him, that foolish half-ogre. But it will intrigue Matron Bayenri's favorite son. House Bayenri's eyes will be squarely upon House Doerden in short order, and so whatever advantage Matron Sulaz might have over Matron Malus, she will be unable to act without alerting House Bayenri. House Barrison Delarmgo will not risk that.
We should take care to never underestimate Matron Malus Doerden, Horudissimoth remarked. She knows she is vulnerable now, with her weak house and her uninitiated climb to where she can hear the echoes of the ruling council. In one move, she will ward off those lesser houses who think to take her down. The cost will be too high if this one is all that his reputation claims, and she will also put off any plans of Barrison Delarmgo to absorb her.
And she gains a deal with Matron Sulaz's most hated rival, Kiri added. Matron Xerath nodded approvingly at her daughter's perceptiveness. Many matrons had rivals and enemies among their peers, but no two hated each other more than Xerath and Sulaz. Few would have guessed such a thing, for the two houses' relative distance in their rankings made them such disparate enemies on the surface. But Xerath knew the truth and understood that Sulaz was gaining power exactly as she had, by using drow males in more prominent roles. Yes, House Barrison Delarmgo would climb fast, and while others looked on in shock, Xerath would hardly be surprised when her earlier prediction to Kiri came true, when Matron Sulaz, or more likely her daughter, took her seat upon the ruling council.
It was not out of the question, to Xerath's thinking, that Mes Baris Armgo would one day become the matron mother of Menzo Baranzon, displacing the great Baenri. But Horu Dissamoth's warning did not ring hollow, for now, Matron Malice Dowerden, also of no house of significance, had managed to weave impressive deals with both Zorlaren and Barrison Delarmgo. And this deal would include another shadowy force as well, one growing stronger under the tutelage of House Baenri, and one from which, soon enough, no house in Menzo Baranzon would desire enmity. "Take the gold and the bartered commoner warriors to Jarlaxle," Xerath instructed Horu Dissamoth. The wizard crinkled his nose, having little taste for the leader of that shadowy force. "Must I? He is insufferable." "Which is why you must. I want nothing to do with him," Matron Xerath said, though it was a lie, for she had already had much to do with the rake called Jarlaxle. But her husband didn't need to know that.